And now your hosts, Mike and Steve.
This should be the last one, I would say.
I think we're going to have to make it the last one.
Either way, we'll push. I mean, there's not...
Yeah.
What the fuck else are we going to talk about? Is it?
Every single time we say that.
No, but like literally like...
Yeah, I know. There's...
This is like the part that I skip on like every other chick track.
Yeah. All right.
And welcome to the podcast. This is How to Get Chicks, your guide into the world of chick tracks. My name's Mike.
I'm Steve, apparently.
You're still Steve.
I am.
There it is.
That cult didn't get to me.
Oh, the Bob cult?
Oh, I'm sorry, what?
The Bob cult.
There's a Bob cult?
They're turning everyone into Bob.
Oh.
I assumed for this bit. Was there an actual cult that you were afraid of?
Yeah.
Cool. So that'll be woven into this question. How's it going, Steve?
Surprisingly well.
So how's this cult? Let's talk about this cult.
Oh, there isn't one.
What?
Yeah.
That would have been such a good tie-in.
No but.
No but?
I'd say yes and.
Oh.
Yeah.
That was a no but cult. Like
the no but.
They chop off your ass.
No, they're just very against cigarettes. It's the no butt cult. They're promoting health and well-being.
Dave, friend of the show, used to grab cigarettes and chew them from people. I don't know. He was more aggressively anti-smoking back then. I always felt uncomfortable growing up in a house full of smokers.
He used to chew them?
I think he'd like grab it out of your hand like and spit on the ground. It seems worse than just like...
You still would get some nicotine that way. He's kind of lucky.
Yeah, maybe like all this time, he was addicted to cigarettes. More so than...
The action of making a point.
He looked really good as far as the anti-smoking... Oh, I bumped the mic. I'm going to try not to do that. He looked the part of the anti-smoker, but...
So. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a very remedial version of chew right there.
Yeah, it was the Kaiser Sose of bringing down smoking. Well, you don't have a cult, so...
Yeah.
That's cool if you're into not having a cult or being a part of a cult.
How are you doing, Mike?
I said that weird. Like, you just, it's going to sound like we inserted my name in post. Like, the original host died, but we carried on.
Well, the reveal at the end is I'm actually in a cult, and that's why my speech patterns are so off right now.
Wow, I look forward to that reveal.
Yeah. It's going to be a slow build.
The anticipation. Like, what's going to happen? We won't know. Things are okay. I went to Seattle last week and Vermont. Went to two places.
Wow.
Yeah, so it's pretty cool.
Those are two very opposite but similar places, I'd imagine.
I guess. I mean, different experiences because I was right in Seattle, like downtown area for most of my trip. I got to eat some German food, which is delicious.
Yeah, it is. Most, yes. Most, yes.
I don't know if you're just trying to break that cult thing or if you agree with that. I bring up German food with people, and a lot of people just have no opinion or like, really, German food?
I was stopping myself from going into a really nerdy kind of food, tangent, because like most American food is based off of German food, so it's like kind of indistinguishable in a certain way.
I believe we've bonded on Stephen Fry's engaging yet boring TV personality style.
Yeah.
So I watched the Fry Across America as well, and that was a weird, like, oh, of course. But there's only like one German restaurant that we were aware of in Seattle, and I had Sauerbraten, which is... This is so good. So it was marinated braised beef brisket with red cabbage and golden yellow raisins and a little bit of creme fraiche. And on top, because it's all mixed in because they don't mess around there. Mm-hmm. On top, red vinegar and sea salt potato chips. It's so sweet and crunchy, and like the presentation was just like, because it was the beef, but it also had the potato chips and the red cabbage. So it was like a brown, purpley, and with little speckles of white and yellow. Oh, nice. My God. It was so good. Yeah. One of my highlights.
So if you go to Seattle, that's the one thing to do.
Yeah, I don't know what it's called. So that's for the German restaurant. Yeah, a lot of fun adventures that I won't get into. Because it's too many. Too many. No, because it gets long. I did have an interesting improv class as well this week.
Oh.
I did more physical stuff because it's my crutch, mm-hmm. and people are impressed by it because I don't know. For me, it's just waving my arms around like an idiot, mm-hmm. but apparently it works. But I had this one, because I've also been reading these blogs, they say, if you go into improv for comedy, you're missing out. And I'm like, oh, okay, but it's never really stuck. And it still really hasn't, but we were doing like three-line scenes just to like start up, and yeah. It was like an accusation from the one person, and then the other person like doing like an endowment of like you always, or like describing some like repetitive behavior for another guy. So I went into a scene with this guy, and he's like, oh, it's 12:01, you missed our anniversary. And my not coming up with anything good was like, or not anything funny, I was like, you're just so bogged down by like the day. Why don't we celebrate the week? Why don't we celebrate the month? And like did that. He's like, oh, really, really? And the class, there are a few people in the class that went, oh. Like, you didn't get any laughs, but that happened. And like yeah. they called scene or whatever. And she's like, oh, I'd like to see that scene more. And I was like, that was unexpected, but I kind of like the awe. I didn't think I would.
Yeah, no, that's good. It's showing engagement and actual world building. That's something.
Yeah. So now I'm like thinking that, like, oh, maybe I don't have to be so like, I only go out when it's funny, you know? I don't know.
Nice.
So that was my thing.
Making an impression without having to be hilarious.
Yeah. And then I was also raised from the dead.
Oh, well, that's an improv or just an...
In improv. I was alive for all my life. And currently, also, I said was, like, that changed. But still alive, as far as you know, in this creepy basement we're recording.
Where there's a disused cot now.
Dim lights, a ghost dad. Yeah. Yeah, this guy came into the scene, and he was like, rise, rise to no one, rise from the dead. And I'm like, well, that's clearly me. I walked in, I did some goofy arm waving, and be like, wow, you look like you rose from the dead. I'm like, okay. I have no respect for the things I'm good at. Lesson learned.
Very good.
Is that? That's probably normal, right? Why would you respect something you're good at?
I think... I don't know. I guess so. I mean,
I'm like, oh, I'm okay with that. Why would I be impressed by that?
Okay, that yeah, I guess that's different than like being impressed and having respect for two different things. So.
Okay. Yeah. I feel like things I respect, I don't feel like I'm good at, even if other people feel like I'm good at it. You know what I mean? Like, if I feel like I can do that, like, I don't respect it then. Whatever.
Yeah, I'm entering my second year of grad school, and I'm totally on board with that, where people are just like, oh, you're kind of good at that. I was like, what? No, I'm just, yeah.
That? Who cares about that?
I like to ride my bike. That's it.
Are you impressed by riding your bike?
Huh?
Are you impressed by your ability to ride a bike?
No.
Do you respect your ability to ride a bike?
Not really.
There it is. I think we made some progress here.
Cyclical progress.
But we're about to end the cycle of the season. The cycle of returning to this goddamn chick tract over and over and over again. The Groundhog Day season.
The reason for the season.
Literally. The reason for the series.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
It's Genesis.
It's going to be cool having, like... This was very intensive, but it's going to be nice having, like, the lighter ones where we can possibly even bring in guests mm-hmm. and, like, not have the burden of this whole thing
right
on us for the length of a season. So we're going to go into Trust Me, people.
Yay.
People. So, guys, if you're watching the video, don't do anything. It's on the screen. You're fine. If you're listening to the audio, go to chick.com, do a search for Trust Me, or click on the link in the show description. And we are starting off right after the scene where the doctor says it's AIDS. So this is after that.
Yeah.
This is after. This is like the other an hour and 20 minutes of Philadelphia, I'm guessing. When did he find out he had AIDS in that movie?
I never saw that movie. I actually had this discussion with my partner the other day. How we've both never seen Philadelphia, and is it too late?
It's not too late. I think even when I saw it back then, I was uncomfortable with the amount of, like, and they do it a bit in, I shouldn't, well, I'll do it just for comedy's sake. They do it a bit in Silence of the Lambs, but where characters are talking to each other, but instead of talking to each other, they just do, like, straight on shots of the face as if, like, you're in the conversation. Mm-hmm. And then I don't like that. It makes me uncomfortable when, like, it's like just staring into the camera. What is blah, 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 blah. And then you get the other person's perspective, blah, blah, blah. It's like, why don't you guys just talk? I don't want Jodie Foster staring at me right now. I'm trying to.
Not like this.
Not like this.
Not like this.
She wouldn't be into it.
Yeah. I don't know.
She's a lesbian. I found that out this year.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Isn't that neat?
Yeah, pretty cool.
Yeah. So, guys, go to chick.com, do everything I just said before talking about Philadelphia, and let's start with, as we always start, with the song from So Much Many. Ding! This is where the graphic pops up in video.
That's neat. It's a good graphic.
Thank you. Oh, wait, you made it.
I think Dave made it.
Dave made it.
Yeah.
That nicotine addicted asshole.
Friend of the show. Why don't we do, I just actually recorded a new one last week.
Great. Does it have a name?
What It Wasn't.
What It Wasn't.
Yes.
My before I joined the old lineup, the guy I basically replaced when he left the band, he had a song called All That Ever Wasn't.
Ooh.
I still don't know what it means, but that reminded me of it. So the name of your actual song, though, again,
is What It Wasn't.
What It Wasn't. So let's listen to What It Wasn't. I just destroyed my first copy of Trust Me on this episode, so now we have to finish it.
Oh, wow. That's in tatters right now.
Yeah, this has been opened a lot. Go to the website. Check out the Chick Tract while you're doing that. One more time, because my whole world is shattered now because I just broke my cover.
What It Wasn't.
What It Wasn't. Hey, ball. I can't lose this game today. I can't even remember this easy to remember song title. If I have to rap at the end, it's going to be a goddamn debacle.
What It Wasn't.
So easy to remember.
And if you go to my SoundCloud and click on it, there's like not really. I guess there are lyrics. You can't make them out in the recording, but that's
you use it for
there.
Like a sound quality.
Yeah.
Like an ambient sound or like a weird, like, what's that?
Yeah, yeah.
What's that, you may say, on your screen if this is a video episode for you? And why are they talking about that if this is audio only? Well, let's get into Chick Tract territory with a little something we call Trust Me. Sorry, I don't know why that happened. I'm sorry. We've been doing this for nine episodes, whatever.
Nine episodes?
Eight episodes. This is the eighth episode.
Oh, my God.
So where we last left off, he was diagnosed with AIDS. He was a sleeper in a coma at the time, but let's assume that he knows.
Yeah, he knows.
Because 6 months later, and this is the one of the biggest time jumps? It might be the biggest time jump.
No, definitely is the biggest time jump.
The biggest time jump as the clearest time jump, the biggest, clearest, definitive time jump. There are other ones that are a little more ambiguous, but this one, 6 months, big chunk. And what do we get? We get probably the most blatant religious symbol at this point in a chick track that has been pretty pretty neutral, right? I mean, it hasn't gone, there hasn't really been any religious symbolism unless you want to, you know, take some crazy pill and start thinking about, I don't know, someone's God in this, or like, right, like crazy stuff, like Trinity, like, oh, number seven numerology shit. Who would do that?
Well, who would do that throughout an entire season, like, spent dedicating hours, like, every other week?
Oh.
Just to meet in a terrible place.
just to do this prolonged joke for people who don't read show descriptions and think this is how they're going to pick up women. Who would do that? So we have it in us on our screen here, the left panel here, 6 months later. Here's the only one you can trust. I never noticed one is capitalized, but that makes sense that it would be. This is the third instance where trust is invoked. We had it passively in the beginning with the finger. That was a callback to the title card.
Mm-hmm.
We had it blatantly with this like caricature, even within the story, of a criminal that turned out to obviously be an undercover cop.
Mm-hmm.
And here we have what I would say is evoking the trust me attitude, but in a way that is being framed as very sincere. And we could argue the sincerity of the first one for sure.
Yeah.
And I think we're torn by that. I think in his own misguided ways, whoever did that was probably trying to help Mac.
Right.
Certainly the cop. No.
No.
That guy is a skeez ball.
I will say you could make the argument that he's trying to help Mac in that get him out of this life of crime in some sort of way by processing him through a system, but the system doesn't care about his well-being, and
He's part of that, and he must know how that system works. And in addition to that, if he does care for Mac, it is troubling that he gets such seeming pleasure out of sticking a gun in Mac's face and right on his forehead. Where he probably went to jail with an imprint of a gun.
Yeah, he doesn't care about him.
Doesn't care. Sorry, cops.
I'm not. We can get into that later.
Oh, man. So, here's the only one you can trust. I mean, do we even have to say that this is, like, clearly Led Zeppelin's album? I was trying to make a joke, but I realized I don't know anything about Led Zeppelin to like say, pretend like, hey, this is a Led Zeppelin reference. This is the Sistine Chapel.
Yeah.
Clearly. I think it's reversed positioning.
Yep.
But it's interesting, though. Mac is on the right, which has been the position of power, but he is lower, so it is kind of a weird, what do we do with this?
Well, he is in the position of receiving the power that can actually help him. And I think, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. We'll get to that. I see the position changing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Good. So I think we can probably talk about these two together, these two panels together.
Okay.
You want to say something specific about the first panel, though, right?
Just because everything that he's gone through up until this point, anytime someone has said, trust me, anytime that he's been like trying to receive something in order to make his life better, it's been negative, and it's
regardless,
like,
of intentions, it has turned out negative.
Yeah, it's not been a good impact on his life, and it's like, how are we supposed to feel about this instance right here, where it's like we have someone saying like, oh, this is the only one that you can trust. It's like, who is saying this? Right. Like, who's the reliable the reliable source here? Like, the guy with the spider tattoo, who every time we've seen a spider tattoo, something horrible has happened to Mac.
Now, we did have the spider tattoo, and I think, I don't know if this is the same guy because it's a different hand, but when we jump back to how we opened up the previous episode, When Mac first enters the prison, there's a hand reaching out for him with a spider tattoo right on the same part of his right hand. Here in this panel, we're seeing it on his left hand. There's a part of me that's like, symmetry, that could be the same guy.
Mm.
And what does that do then? It kind of makes it a little more tragic for me, like, that in that first seemingly hellish panel, that there was this one hand coming out of this pen of demons.
Right.
That was saying, by the way, it's going to be all right, but you can't tell the difference within a sea of evil.
Boom.
Boom!
All right, we can go home now.
Yeah, we can go home. I mean, that wouldn't have saved him from the events that took place in the prison.
No.
Which we will now talk very ambiguously.
Yep.
Because I don't want to bring anyone down. But it wouldn't have changed anything, but he would have gotten hope a little sooner. And maybe the scenes in the doctor's office would have been drawn a little bit differently.
Yeah, they would have seemed a little less as the ending, and maybe more of like, okay, he's actually heading towards a positive outcome rather than, oh, it's just someone that's, you know, gonna suffer and then that's it.
Yeah. I mean, if I was writing this and had if I was writing this and wanted that encounter to happen before any business happened in the prison, any negative encounters with any of the prisoners, I probably would even leave out, you wouldn't even need the prison assault or anything like that. You might have what we normally see in a chick tract where someone says, why should I believe this?
Right.
Which, talking about, you brought up, like, why trust this guy? Well, in every other chick tract that we've read, when something is brought up and there's skepticism, it's because there's been a whole life of skepticism. And then, oh, I'm going to trust this, or I'm not, and I'm going to go to hell, but it's too late in the panel.
Yeah.
Too late in the story for that to happen. He's got to accept it at this point.
Yeah.
But he doesn't learn anything.
No.
Nothing is learned.
Nothing.
He just happens to get it right one out of three times.
Yeah. And who's to say that if he didn't have this horrible affliction and he ended up living even longer, like, how long would this have stuck? Like, how long would this trust in this one voice until someone else came and said, no, you should probably trust me over here?
You bring up an interesting point. Because he could have gone his whole life without meeting the Kingpin.
Yep.
Without going into a life of crime and drugs. Going to jail, he could have lived what we would have considered a good life.
Or at least an inoffensive life.
Inoffensive, which, if you were to compare that to the scene in the first panel, we would say, great.
Yeah, yeah, you fucking made it, buddy.
Fantastic. This is the difficult part of, and we don't often talk about the religious aspects, but this is all going to be religious at this point, so it's hard not to.
Yeah.
This is the difficult part that everyone seems to have in my circle of friends when they talk about chick tracks, is this this notion that the only way through salvation is through Christ. That even if you weren't aware of it, as it seems that this kid wasn't, he wasn't aware of Jesus, if he had lived his life in a good, inoffensive way, even though all the boxes would have been checked off.
Yeah.
There would have been that one, like, didn't accept Jesus, sorry. And this one, every box is left blank.
Yeah.
Except for, at the end,
accepted
and Jesus.
Went through.
Which is so frustrating.
I mean, as a form of propaganda, I understand the logic behind that, because
right.
It's a sense of urgency, and no, it's your job to go out there and seek out these people, because if you don't, then this will happen to them.
Yeah.
Or this won't happen to them, as it were, you know? So it's, while, you know, I don't know if moral's the right word, but like, it's, for me, the logic doesn't sit well, where it's just like, well, no, you shouldn't be held accountable for something that you're, you know, ignorant of, or,
right.
Well, that's not true either, but.
Well, I mean, if there was no, how would I put this? I've been listening to a lot of Oldies on my Pandora. I have a Buddy Holly station. A lot of older songs have been popping up. And these songs that I didn't really think about the lyrics before. And just some of them are just so, like, crazy misogynist. Like,
oh, yeah.
In ways that, like, I didn't, like, in songs that I didn't even think about. Like, there's one beautiful song that I never thought of called You Belong to Me. Like,
mm-hmm.
And the structure of each verse is, you know, you can go to this foreign country, you can, you know, grab the trinkets or whatever, but in the end,
yeah,
don't forget,
yeah,
you belong to me. And there's even a line about, like, if it's something like being worried that she's going to dream about something, have a goal outside of being, yeah.
Yeah, that's insane.
And there's another one that's, I want to tell you how much I love you, which is a beautiful song.
Yeah, yeah.
He refers to, and this happened all the time. Like, I remember hearing women being referred to as pets.
Mm-hmm.
And just, like, thinking about that now, like, oh, my God.
Yeah, it's really, really messed up.
But at the same time, that was, unfortunately, the way it was back then.
Mm.
With, you know, there's some gradation, but, I mean, that's sort of how it was accepted by and large. And were you a bad person back then for having that mindset if you had no other...
I think the issue comes is if you're confronted with the alternative to that sort of thinking and you don't change mm-hmm. your outlook or you don't change the what you say about that subject, then that's when you become the bad person.
Mm-hmm.
It's really hard to gauge that.
Right.
But then again, it's like those ideas don't necessarily spontaneously erupt. So it's like, if you're not thinking critically about what your actions are and like what your beliefs really are,
mm-hmm.
and you can't come up with certain epiphanies or realizations on your own,
right?
Then it's like, well, you're kind of at fault as well, you know?
There's got to be some outside spark, though, I feel, to generate that thought. Because, I mean, there's like for me, and I'll just profess my ignorance, like for a while, I just hadn't thought of anything about the transgender community at all.
Mm.
And only recently, I mean, like, pretty recently, I read something online that sort of like made me go, wow, I never even thought like all these.
Yeah.
It just never occurred to me all these different stupid like fears that people have and like even some that I had like taken for granted. Like there's the obvious joke about, you know, a guy walks into a bar, he sees a pretty lady and then, turns out to be a man. Wah, wah. Like
yeah.
He was like. That the transgender person was trying to trick him.
Yeah, or somehow that is like a threat to his own masculinity somehow.
Right.
Yeah,
and stuff I didn't even think about until someone wrote it down. And
right.
I was like, oh, yeah, it is weird that a shorthand for a part of why the guy in Silence of the Lambs is crazy is that he likes to dress
yeah.
up. He wants to transform into a woman. What a crazy person.
Right.
It's like, how offensive is that movie going to be in like 10 years? Or is it now to a whole group of people that I've never talked to?
Well, I mean, I think that his character is actually based on Dahmer. So.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. So
okay.
that was sort of a thing, but not explicitly saying that does raise some questions. But you do bring up an interesting, a good point and an interesting one as well. And I guess it can sort of exist on a spectrum, maybe, where it's like you have to consider all of your inputs as well. Mm-hmm. Like you said, like reading an article that explicitly spells it out. But like if you're talking with people and observing like certain things and actually and being more open to surroundings, then you're able to create ideas a little bit freer, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas if you're actively trying to just keep your world as you originally view it, then you're not, then that's the bad ignorance, you know?
So this is, in a way, then this is an appropriate test for Mac, because he is given the choice at this point after his whole, one could argue that he's been given the choice at this point after his entire world has been crumbling around him. Because of his own doing and being gullible, he has the choice of saying, does this crazy alternative that I've never even considered before exist? That's one. Now, the other one that feels more strongly to us is, He's just doing the same thing again. Yeah. He's just lucked out.
I mean, all right, there's a couple of things that this sort of reminds me of, or brings to mind. I'm sorry, I keep on touching this, and it's a bad thing.
He's talking about the mic stand. We are wearing clothes in the basement. I am alive.
Yep.
And he's not in a cult.
Established facts. Hashtag Snapple facts.
All right, back on track, because we're going to finish this today, goddammit.
All right. Well, okay, so that brings up a couple of things which I think is interesting, which is, in a way, it makes his acceptance a little bit more pitiful because his whole world has crumbled. It's like, where else is he going to go?
Right.
But to this other thing. But also, it reminds me of, like, the story of Job a little bit, where it's like, how much can we test this person's faith? Or is this like,
yeah,
you haven't tested, like, he hasn't had his faith tested at all.
That's right. He had his resolve as a person tested.
Right.
But in very just existential now, sometimes just need-based, carnal, like, I need very, this stimulus. I need that.
Yeah, very, like, reptilian almost.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know.
This is the first time religion enters a chick tract that we've obsessed about.
Yeah.
Which may be why I like it so much, is because religion doesn't enter into it. It's, I guess, sort of like somebody loves me. It doesn't enter into the very, very mm-hmm. end. And really, the religious stuff is just so whatever you want to believe. It's sort of the same beats every chick track, so it's not as interesting to us,
yeah.
At least to me. All right. Let's keep going. Anything else in this panel that you want to talk about? Or both panels?
Not really that we've already established. I mean, it's interesting that the prisoner is outside of the bars, or if they, I don't know if they're sharing a wall or something.
It might be, because it is a pamphlet, he might be the prison librarian.
Right, yeah, which is ultimately not important, like what his role is there.
He doesn't even have a face. The main character, Mac, isn't given his expression here. It almost feels like the Onceler in some sense, like handing out the last truffula seed from the Lorax.
Oh, okay.
You know, the Onceler?
No, that's cool.
Wow. Yeah. Very powerful story. Well, last thing on this second half of the page, the second panel, he, of course, gets not a book.
Yeah, he gets a little go for it. I'm sorry.
A chick track.
He gets a chick track.
Basically, I mean, it's not set up the same way, but This Is Your Life has that full page design as well, even though it's white on black.
Mm-hmm.
It's basically, it's the same like dimensions as a chick track. It's a chick track.
And spoiler alert, I mean, or not really, but just to jump to the end a little bit, I mean, missed opportunity here. Like, they really should have published either the back of this one that says Jesus loves you.
Oh, that would have been good.
Yeah.
Well,
so
what of a mind fuck that would have
right.
been.
Right. So he's like reading his life on here and be like,
they screwed up yeah. so bad.
Right.
What if it's even said, trust me?
Right. Like, this is the only one that you can trust. Wink. Peter Griffin laugh.
God, that would have been so much better, because they have actual, and I want to do a Halloween like month where we talk, because there's this weird web of chick tracks that deal with Halloween that reference yeah. other Halloween ones, like legitimately, like that is the exact cover.
Yeah.
Why didn't they do this here? That is a huge missed opportunity. Maybe it would be the hubris of it to be like, oh, but like at the same time, you as a reader,
yeah,
it's not like, forget about Mac and being like, what a mind fuck, I'm reading my own life. You as a reader could be like, oh, am I in my own prison? Have I spun out of control in my own way?
Right. Like,
oh my God, yeah. We got to write to Jack. Hey, you got to fix this. Because that is, that would be killer. We would end the show right now. Now we have to keep going because we haven't gotten to the satisfying conclusion. Next page is
whatever.
Well, I've said it on almost every episode. The religious propaganda, or usually it's a religious scene where they're flashing back or they're talking about mm-hmm. Jesus on the cross. Here we have an actual,
he's looking in the book.
Yeah, which happens in other ones as well. Again, it is more well-defined, realistic, better rendered than his actual life.
That's true.
And this is probably the best example out of all of them.
Yeah.
Because they even, this is the only one I can think of where the character's hands are actually in there. So it's not even like you can say this is a stylized imagining. This is literally, he's holding it. You can see the contrast. And this is like drawn better than real life for him is drawn.
Oh my God. If only he had gotten this before drugs.
Oh my God. What if he got it while he was on drugs?
What? That's like 4D right there.
I think it would be 4D.
Right there.
Given the time jumps. It's the same quotes as every other Chick Tract. This is why this episode is not going to be a two-parter, because this is all the same.
I will say this. It is kind of nice to see John 3:16 quoted somewhere, because I always see it at like sporting events and things like that and be like, what the hell does that even have to do with anything?
Yeah, he does say, I mean, it does appear in other Chick Tracts. I think usually they do 3:10, which is like obviously the lead up to it. But 3:16 is not in every Chick Tract for sure. It is nice. And I think I've mentioned on another episode where usually the 3:16 that I was used to was Austin 3:16,
mm-hmm.
which said that I just kicked your ass.
Mm.
Yeah. So next page here. Double panel, because again, this is kind of similar.
Looks like he lost more hair, though, in between.
Yeah, it does look like that. It doesn't give any indication of a time jump, so this is the state he was in when he grabbed the Chick Tract.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God, I'm so sorry. And they do another shot of the Chick Tract just to show he's reading it, I guess. I don't know. I guess it could also be a postcard because he hasn't opened it. So maybe it is a one-pager. I feel like it's at least fulfilling the role and function of a Chick Tract.
Yeah.
So I still feel like your idea was better than this. The one time
I had a good idea.
No,
I just used it.
The one time Jack Chick dropped the ball and Murphy picked it up. Of course, he gets on his knee. Lord Jesus, I trust you. I trust you as my savior.
See, it's interesting because they show him in the position of power, then he's back and not having power, and then having forfeited his position of power for a moment, and then when we go to the next panels, he's actually back again in the position of power.
Well, so. We'll get to that in a second,
yeah.
But to backtrack, you're talking about he goes from being on the right side of the panel to the middle / a little bit left,
yep.
And then pretty much to the left, and this is the second time we see him kneel, and now it's not to the altar of drugs. I didn't know if that was enjoying what I said or saying, well, not really. You don't even know either.
It was enjoying.
Great.
Yeah.
So he kneels. Now, now this is, of course, for dramatic purposes as well, but it should also be noted that he's saying this out loud and I would presume shouting it.
Yeah.
Or at least saying it with emotion. I mean, that might speak to the state of being in prison, that you would just say your thoughts out loud alone. It might speak to the swell of emotion that's happening.
I mean, he could just be trying to hear his own voice, too, for the first time, which is something.
I mean, the last time he spoke was during that scene we're not going to talk about. I just realized. I thought it was a little sooner and we could go to it without bumming people out, but it's going to be a downer.
Is that the first? Hold on a second. Okay. So, yeah, he really doesn't say much.
Says, give me more
than,
then help.
Yeah.
And then this. He only speaks when he is in a position of the victim.
Right.
Whether that is a self-appointed position of, not appointed, but a position that he put himself in by the outcome of drug use,
mm-hmm.
Or just from being in the prison system.
I'll take another step. He's only speaking when he's begging for something.
Yes.
So it's like, you know, the drugs, the, and then for salvation.
Yes. Yeah, one is for more of a physical need, or not even physical, but yeah, I guess closer to a physical something, a need of the body.
Mm-hmm.
And the other is help, preservation, yeah. And again of the body.
Mm-hmm.
I guess also of the psyche, of course. And this one is of the spirit, so it's a deeper one. But still, we just find him in the same pattern of behavior. There's nothing, even though this happens to be the right time to put your trust in something and to beg for something you believe that you need. There's no difference here. He is a flat character.
Yeah.
That's all there is to it. Is there anything else with these two panels before we move on to... Okay, we're going to move on. I will say that showing his bald head in the second half of that page, it's one of those, like, pitiful, gross moments that... I don't know what to equate it to. It's just one of those, like, if this were, like, it really could, it borders on just being bad taste to show that. But on the same time, it's like, it's him at his frailest. So it's not like, you know, if he's bending over, you're going to see that. But at the same time, it's like, I question the motivation. It's not drawn particularly great. And it just seems like, I don't know, a little gratuitous, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, I think part of it's just reinforced by the fact that he's had very full hair throughout the entire comic. So,
yeah.
And it's one of the few defining character, like defining physical elements that he has.
Yeah,
like he's not. I mean, he's a pretty
normal looking
dude. Yeah. So, and it's like, okay, how do we show complete degradation, like degradation, and then, you know, through the hair.
Well, that brings us to the next page in the first panel. They have him bald here, but I don't feel like this is, I don't feel like this one's a problem for me.
Mm.
And I think maybe because the drawing's a little better, maybe because it's such a rushed job in that previous one, that I feel like it's disrespectful.
It just doesn't look good with, like, seeing the sores on his hands and his face so close to where the hair is, like, falling out, you know? So
yeah.
It's sort of like, it almost looks like clumps are falling out before your eyes, which is very unsettling.
Yeah, it's gross.
Yeah.
It's as if, like, a B-movie's budget got a hold of a very serious A-movie, like, subject matter, and they're just not dealing with this. I mean, this whole Chick Tract is a movie, except for this B movie page, which I never really liked. I will say that page I never liked. This one that we're on now, though, with Mac in the middle, hands up to the cell window.
Mm-hmm.
Gabriel, I think Gabriel's the one that takes you to heaven.
Sure, why not?
I don't know. Thank you, Lord, for saying. He seems to know.
Yeah,
that Lord, maybe from the light. What do you think? What do you make of this image? What do you feel like? What do you think of Gabriel's position here? What do you think of it? What is he conveying with his body?
He looks like someone that has been at the job for a long time.
He does, yeah.
And he's just like, great, now I got to take this one up too? Like, what the hell?
He has that. But you also mentioned positioning.
Mm, he's in the position of power.
Yes.
Yeah.
But you had mentioned that Mac goes into the position of power. And I think that's because the light's coming through the window. And there's a part of me that thinks there might be a little bit of a joke in here where Mac finds out about Jesus, the concept, wants to be saved, and then looks to a window shining light and says, thank you for saving me.
Yeah, proclaims his being saved.
And then Gabriel, the whole time, the one who is going to, it's not God, but the one that's going to literally bring him up to heaven, is standing right next to him. He doesn't see him.
Yeah.
And we've talked about Mac's inability to read symbols.
Interesting.
And we get this moment where he just finds out, and probably if it's like any other religious thing, it probably has very blatant imagery, cliches, religious iconography, like the light coming through the window. Mm-hmm. That's come on. And it just is, to me, this is like a funny scene where he is still, talk about flat character, he still can't accurately read symbols.
Right.
And the whole time, Gabriel's just standing there like, come on, dude.
Yeah. Like, I'm right here.
It's like, you accepted Jesus, but wow.
Yeah.
Like, literally nothing else about you has evolved,
right.
Grown up, and educated.
Unreal.
I like this one a lot.
That's a good one. That is a good one.
What else? And then we can talk about the second one as well. Yeah, we can talk about either of these two panels. Is there anything that is conjured up in your soul? In your soul?
I mean, that kind of blew my mind a little bit.
Nice!
Because it is in keeping with sort of with his past behavior, where he's just sort of always looking for the kind of easy way out, you know?
Yeah.
And it's like, what better way to show that, like, no, see, I'm praising you through the light, Lord. Don't you see this or whatever? And it's just like he doesn't get it that it's not an external thing. It's completely like it's an internal acceptance thing that
right.
wouldn't have any physical manifestation.
Right.
Like if it did, do you think he'd still, you know, probably have the AIDS? Like what the hell?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Exactly. Like the light shone through his window, and he's like, "Wow." And Gabriel's like, no, come on. It also works with just how consistently, I mean, the insulting way to say it is that he is incompetent. Throughout this entire story, he is just an idiot kid. An idiotic kid. I said idiot kid to make myself sound like an idiot also. but also the other side of that is he is a child. He is...
Right.
He's so innocent and naive that he would look to a window that's shining through in a moment of like, I need to latch onto something.
See, I wouldn't, that's how I would prefer to read it. Like, because even from the beginning, it's just like, he comes from a world of just horror.
Yeah.
You know? So it's like, there's not a lot of room for personal development in a situation like that. So
yeah.
It makes sense that you would jump from that to try to latch on to something that would be safe,
yeah.
You know? Yeah.
And then 2 days later, he dies. And I think that's probably the best bet. I mean, because he looks... his hair is clumping out and he's thinner, but he's still at least active
in this
panel. I don't know how many days are like that for him. But 2 days later, he dies. And I think it's weird that they did two. I don't know why it would be 2 days, but at least it's a short time frame. We don't have to see him.
Everything else had been like 3 days. So, I mean, and that was always awful. So maybe it was just like, all right, we'll cut out a day. Give him some rest, you know?
And not to be morbid, but it is 2 days and then we see him on a stretcher.
Yeah.
So who knows when he died.
That's true. He could have been sitting in that position for a while, potentially.
We don't know. We don't know, like, timing-wise how this works. We don't know, in 2 days, his body gets sent down to the morgue. I also don't know how all that works. I don't know if there's, like, you get sent down to the morgue first, they do this. I don't know how that works. I don't know anything about that. By an uncaring person, I guess, would it be a medical professional that does it, or would it be a guard or like a maintenance guy? I don't know who would do that in a prison.
I mean, honestly, my first impression was it was another prisoner.
It could be.
Like doing like the work release type stuff.
That could be, yeah. Down in the morgue, his Lord said unto him, and then we can cut to the next one. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. And it's Gabriel bringing Mac as we saw him before. And probably the most genuinely happy without any sort of, like, sweats or, like, grossness. This is, like, pure happiness. This is what we would want to see him like in the first panel if he didn't have to live in a place with school buses like that. And
yeah, his eyes are actually like a light, like they have like that cartoonish kind of glow to them in this. And yeah, he's got all his hair back and he's like, he's grasping onto the angel with like, not out of terror, but just like, wee.
It is like a superhero, like, yay, we're doing it. It's fun. This looks fun.
Yeah.
With the crow's nest, as you mentioned before, in the background. I think it's interesting because all of his life had been plagued with physical evils or, you know, the problem with the physical realm were all abound. I mean, he had outside stimulus with the kids throwing knives and shooting mm-hmm. guns, and he polluted his own body with the drugs and the things that he would do to sort of rewire his brain so that he could deal with how awful the outside world was. It was all this hardware, software issue. And then finally at the end we have his soul leaving all that and is now finally happy. But is this end satisfying?
No.
No. And why do you think this is not a satisfying ending?
Because he went through so much that was out of his control.
Mm-hmm.
Completely out of his control, you know? Like, he made a couple of bad choices along the way, but when that's all that you see, it's like, what other choice are you supposed to make? Like,
right.
It just feels like it came down to luck the whole time.
It came down to luck. Of course, these Chick Tracks often are targeting people who feel like their lives are spiraled out. I mean, someone who would get a Chick Tract and be changed by it, I feel like, is someone who, I think there's a reason why there's a lot of born again Christians, because, and not just Christians. I feel like anyone who is in a position of seeking, you know, some other spiritual identity,
you usually find what you seek when it comes to things like that.
Whether it's true or not, I'm not here to judge that, but I feel like if you're living a great life, you're not seeking it.
Right.
Which is probably a bane to many people's, like, oh, why? Why can't we get more people? Well, people are doing well and they're, you know, I go with my selfish desires when things are great.
Well,
sorry.
I think that that's sort of, that this comic is trying to address that as well, where it's just like, you have to be vigilant and you have to be constantly evangelizing.
I don't know the word.
Sure. You have to constantly be seeking out new recruits, because if you're not, then they're going to suffer.
Right, because in the beginning, Mac seemed like a perfectly fine kid who was
right.
in a bad circumstance. And you'd say, well, maybe the one I have to go with are the people on the bus. And that very, very well may be true, that those are people that you should also be targeting for salvation. But you're right, Max slipped through the cracks. Like, almost literally went through a crack in the fence. What I have a problem with in this, and it ties to what you were saying about just seeing him suffer and, like, just at the end being, it being just a matter of chance. Sure, I totally agree with that. On top of that, the fact that we see him suffer for every panel until the last one. And then in the last one, we see him escaping the confines, the earthly prison.
Right.
Isn't prison just a metaphor for earth, man?
Wait.
Man.
Man. Okay, you got me on the last man.
There we go. You could argue that. And great, I think this image is perfectly valid in here, and I think it should take up the whole page. But I feel like we're missing at least one or two other panels that are full pages that show him going to heaven.
Right.
Unlike almost every other Chick Track we read, we get to see the blank-faced God
right.
on his Lincoln throne.
See, that was what I was wondering, too, is you don't ever see the judgment part.
No. You can assume from the text that's quoted that he entered the joy of thy Lord. So,
in what
being
regard?
In the presence of God is supposed to be joyful enough. So, even, like, during judgment, I don't know. That is a gray area, but you could say, like, well, at least tips towards the fact that he goes to heaven. And you would hope after all this that he goes to heaven.
No.
And it seems like based on the arbitrary rules that are put in the chick track, because I feel like other sections of Christianity are a little bit different than this, I would safe to assume. Based on the rules of this and every other chick track, he gets into heaven. He accepted Christ. Why don't we get to see that? Like, and it, heaven is drawn pretty well. Yeah. And other chick tracks. I mean, it's sparse, but you get the impression of how glorious it is, and how drab and miserable this whole chick track has been aesthetically.
Yeah.
Why not give him the ending?
Go out on a bang.
Right?
Yeah.
Somebody Loves Me. Also, I don't think that happens too. I don't think they show him going to heaven.
No.
Also upsetting.
Very. That, I mean, yeah, that was the one that broke me, so.
Yes. So much joy in my life. Sorry. No, it was so great.
That was your heaven shot.
That was my heaven shot. That's my, it feels like, so, my final thing on this panel. If this chick tract is so concerned about you falling into the trappings of day-to-day life and treating the physical world as if it matters because it's physical and it's all you can see and all you can interact with, and you don't appreciate that there, according to this, is an afterlife and an intangible and a spiritual realm, if all that is true, then why not showcase the better alternative, what we should all be aspiring to reach, this better plane of existence. Instead, it focuses on the very thing that Mac has been plagued with for his entire life, except for the last panel. And even then, we see the prison in the background. We don't even get him.
Yeah.
If he was flying through the sky, that would be something.
Yeah.
Clouds, no, like, even if there's a bird flying by, that would be something. Like, fine, he's going somewhere. We're still bogged down, weighed down by this image of a prison, which is clearly just the prison of life that has ruined him.
Now, I'm not gonna be a JTC apologist here.
I need the other side of it, though.
I'm not gonna. I mean, this doesn't make up for it.
Okay.
But I think that by constantly hitting the reader over the head with just the oppressive world that's created in this, it doesn't necessarily matter what's on the other side, as long as you can get to the other side, because you're leaving this horrible place, and don't ever forget it. Like, you.
True.
Yeah.
Don't ever forget it.
I agree that you need that the payoff would be is deserved of seeing what the other world is, but I think the argument is no, it doesn't really matter what it looks like. It's still going to be better than whatever this was.
It still has to be better.
Right.
But I feel like given the duration of his suffering, we need at least a glimpse instead of just throwing your hands in the air and saying it's got to be better. Like,
I agree.
Okay.
I agree.
You go, and then I'm going to go. By that, I mean, here's a gun. No. It's the end of the season.
No, I completely agree with you. However, I can see why they didn't do it, just because it's just like, why should we have to show what this looks like when we've already established that anything would be better than this?
It just doesn't feel happy to me. It's like the end. Oh. Have you seen Ghost World?
Yeah.
You know, at the end where, sorry, people, she just leaves. And you're like, even though she was a dumb kid, we're all dumb kids at that age. And the idea of just leaving this small town with its stupid small town views that doesn't get your artistic slant on things. Great. Anything has to be better. Get on the bus and go.
Yeah.
You don't see where she goes, you don't, and it's the same sort of like ending for me.
You don't get closure.
And she was just a dumb girl that got in trouble for putting in a racist painting for an art show or whatever, and her parents were, or her dad was getting remarried and whatever.
Yeah.
This kid, I think, come on.
Yeah.
Even if, even if it's, we don't need to see it. What if we got a shot of him at the end? This is, it's the same lettering at the bottom. We don't get, maybe we see him flying away or whatever. Maybe we see him flying away, but his Lord said unto him is under the flying scene, right? And then the next one, enter thou into the joy of the Lord. For that one, maybe that's a full panel shot of, like the tripping scene,
mm-hmm.
just a face shot, but instead of instead of the sweats, and... we get the same purity, pure happiness that we're seeing here, and the brilliant light shining on him.
I agree. That would be a great way to end this.
Can we draw that? I'm not very good at that. I feel like I might insert, if I have time, I'm going to insert it right here so that the audience is not bummed out like I am.
Go ahead.
I might do that. I got a weekend. I don't care. All right. Let's do the final recap, because I don't want to come back for a ninth episode.
Okay.
Eight's a good number.
It is a good number.
And I feel like we got here. I don't feel like the recap is going to be worthy of a full episode anyway. No. And we frankly hit the hour mark, which is normally when we would recap anyway.
Okay.
And we kind of did a lot of story recap just from the fact that this is the ending.
Mm-hmm.
Any final thoughts on this? I will ask you to rate it in a second, but... Any final lingering thoughts, either on this Chick Tract alone, or what happened during the process of the season? What happened?
What happened? I think is a good question to ask. I mean, God, how did we spend so long just talking about this? And it's crazy to think about, like. I know that we have sort of a lost episode about with this as well.
Which was only 2 hours.
It was only 2 hours, but that was also our first time sitting down to talk about this.
About any Chick Tract.
About any Chick Tract. Like, yeah. It was, came up with the idea, and like, all right, let's do it.
Yeah.
I'm worried that this might compromise our ability to do shows in the future, to be honest with you.
How so?
Being able to go through an entire comic or entire tract in one go.
Oh. I think because we're framing it in a way that, like... Because I know what you're saying.
Yeah.
I don't believe I've ever encountered a Chick Tract that was as dense as this.
That was my next thought, too, where it's just like, this is... such a dense comic, and unlike, it's so similar but so unlike all the other comics,
right?
Like you can trace a lot of things that happen in other comics to like themes that go on in this one,
mm-hmm.
but the way that it's handled and the way it, and just oh the oppressiveness of it.
Yes. It is oppressive.
And just the arc that it takes and the journey that you go through with this character who doesn't even have a name. We keep calling him Mac. He doesn't have a name.
Doesn't have a name.
And this is someone that went through court, has gone through prison. Like, these are prime places to say a name.
Yeah.
That we do not get.
A nameless protagonist. Now, this is the question. Now, protagonist is the one that drives the action. Mm-hmm. I think that's the definition. And
it's the one. It's not the one that drives the action. It's the one that experiences change from the action.
And the antagonist is the one that is...
I think the one that drives the action is the antagonist.
Okay.
Don't...
I'm going to look that up later.
Yeah, it's been years.
Yeah, I've never seen one as dense as this, but also... I've been looking at this for a while. This is one that I've liked for a long, long time. So I don't see doing that with any other Chick Tract.
Yeah.
We also talked about this before, so that's a good warm up. And I think we went into it kind of, at least I went into the season kind of knowing like, we're gonna go for it. Partly as a, you know, a challenge, and partly because like, I think we could, because we've talked at least about it once and I've been thinking about it for a while.
Yeah.
The other Chick Tracks, we will know it's an hour. We cut it off. We won't necessarily have to go by, and I think you noticed this on the, I think we did this a few times, but I think you might have noticed this on the Where the Hell is Steve Murphy season. A lot of times now we'll just touch upon the hit points. I'll say to the guests, okay, well, you know, what do you want to talk about? Do you want to talk about something at the beginning? What's something that you notice? We can not go as detailed. I think we'll be fine. Or we'll not. Who knows?
I think we'll be fine too. I just wanted to voice that concern, just because, you know, we don't want to be doing 8 episodes on every comic.
I think
that this one warrants it.
Yeah.
But
yeah. I think there are some that, like, frankly, it's going to be tough to get an hour.
Yeah.
So, this Chick Tract clearly took more than 8 hours to do.
Yeah.
So we went through your concern about it. I guess, what was the most surprising thing that came out of this season for you, either out of this or just in general, out of this specific Chick Tract, or is it just like, wow, we did that?
Well, there's definitely the wow, we did that factor.
Yep.
That, I think that what was really surprising about this was having had, I mean, you've been, like you said, thinking about this one for a while.
Yeah.
And having discussed it before as well, just the amount of different readings that we're like consistently able to come up with, and like the different interpretations. And there's probably still more stuff that we've not touched on, which is scary to think about, that we could potentially do a revisit at some point. Like,
ooh, I don't know. No. No. It's a whole audience of people.
The audience demands it.
Oh, my God.
But just the fact that we were able to, not to pat ourselves on our back, but I think this is more speaking to, I don't want to say the talent of JTC here, but just the depth which was within this comic is incredible.
Yeah, I would say, and I don't usually like to bring up authors' intentions or abilities, I will say that, you know, probably the meta joke of the show is that he's not trying to write, like, deep things.
Right.
It's not that he's not trying to, he's actively not trying to write, he's just not an objective for him. It's not even something he considers.
Right.
The fact that he happened upon, and it happens in all Chick Tracks, he happens upon a juxtaposition of imagery and story elements, and there are enough gaps or there are enough weird touches that you can derive all this, these plot lines,
characters,
these accidental connections that happen.
Right.
If you're looking for a deeper meaning or whatever, you can find it, even though it might not have been
intended,
and ultimately it's not there. It doesn't really matter. But we get that in all
spoiler alert.
Well, spoiler. He didn't write this. This isn't changing your life. This is merely an act of pattern recognition and being able to be like, this is using our own creativity. That's all that all literary criticism is.
Right.
All it is, people.
People.
Able. But the fact that this is 8 hours worth of material it's astounding. Even though we've talked about it, even though I've been thinking about it, the fact that there's that much to call from this, if I spent 10 years thinking about Bad Bob and then we did another episode on it, I don't think it would take 8 hours.
No, absolutely not. And I think it's just, it's as much of what goes into it as what is left out of it.
Right.
You know, so it's those gaps where you're able to sort of expand and explore and figure out, like, or try to figure out, like, what the character's intentions are, and, you know, what the overall, like, even the overall moral of the story should be, if there is one. Like,
right.
It's exhausting.
it's exhausting.
And well, invigorating.
And invigorating. Well, we made it to the end of it. Let's take a break. Our final break of this season. Come back and see what the hell's left of our brains.
Yeah, do you have a song for us?
Yeah, sure. We're going to play... Oh, I always forget the name of it. It's an unfinished song. It doesn't have vocals.
It's Seconds Prior, though.
It is Seconds Prior. Bing! Graphic. Oh, this drives me nuts.
Drives me nuts.
Nah, it's just... Oh, zah. Zah.
The pizza song.
What? Oh, Pixie Fight. That's what it is.
Of course.
Doesn't sound like a Pixie Fight, but it did when I played it two octaves higher when I was originally writing it. That sounds like an Elephant Twister Party.
Elephant Twister Party.
That's a better name. So listen to Elephant Twister Party. We'll come back and we will play a little game we call Science? Unfinished song called Elephant Tea Party or something. I don't know. It's not finished. It's going to have a different name anyway when it's finished, so who cares? Why'd I even think to try to come up with a name? Doesn't matter, people. Anyway.
People.
We made it to the end of this season. It's exciting for you and for me, for everyone involved, which is you and me. That's it. Right?
That's it.
That's it. Just this two-man crew here. Two live crew. Now, as organized as we usually are on the show, I did not pick these out ahead of time, so this will be a little bit of an improv thing on my behalf, but we're going to try. We're going to try to do this in a little game that we like to call Science? So, newcomers to the show, why the hell are you starting with this episode?
Why are you starting here in this episode?
Right. Right. As we all know, the game of science is played by reading out some facts. These facts might may be true, they may be false. If Steve can identify if it's a true science fact, it's a or a fake science fact, if he properly identifies...
I can either call it science,
which means that yeah, I believe that's true,
or I can call it science,
which means that's not true. And if he's right about his prediction of true or falsedom, not a word, he gets a point. If he gets it wrong, I get a point. First to three wins. Loser has to improvise a rap over the season finale credits.
What?
Yeah.
Are they new credits?
No, they're not. They're not changed at all. If you're ready to do this, I just hit the microphone, breaking my own rules. If you're ready to do this, let's try to do this. You ready?
I'm ready.
All right. Question one, or science fact one. When a woman gets pregnant, she will have about 50% more blood in week 20 of that pregnancy.
Wow. I feel like this is something that I should know. Just in general, like, doesn't everyone, when they turn like 15, just try to learn everything they can about pregnancy just in case?
No, I never did that.
That's not a thing.
Nope.
Okay.
I never did. I don't know. I might be in the minority though. I really don't know.
I'm going to say science.
Science question mark?
Science question mark.
As a result, pregnant women have about 50% more blood by week 20 of pregnancy than they did before they conceived, which is because She's not only growing a baby, she's growing a support system for that fetus.
See, that makes sense. I just question the percentage.
Ah, yeah. I see. Yeah.
Yeah.
20%.
Wow.
No, 20 weeks, 50% more blood.
Right.
That's a lot of blood.
That's why I was like, that seems excessive.
It does seem excessive. Women, calm down.
Whoa.
Insane. That's way too much.
You don't use the CD word.
Speaking of which, CD's nuts? Your next question.
Next question in the basement.
Oh, God. Never reference your nuts in the basement again. All right.
It's implied, damn it.
So your next science fact is the ancient city of Pompeii, while having the ability to do indoor plumbing, could not get indoor plumbing on the second floor.
Oh, I'm going to say that is science.
Science, period.
Science, period.
Speaking of necessities, residents of ancient Pompeii could go upstairs to pee.
Ah.
Though the eruption of Mount Vesuvius in AD 79, I think that should be 79 AD, but whatever, destroyed many second stories, pipes left behind reveal traces of fecal matter. And the occasional upstairs toilet still remains in the ruins.
Wow.
Isn't that weird?
That's pretty cool.
It is kind of cool, actually.
I'm losing.
You are.
Wow.
You are losing, but you still have three more, which is, you've come back from this before, and it's always pissed me off. So, I'm waiting for that. Your next science fact.
Well, you didn't ask me if I was ready.
I'm sorry. You know what? Let me back this train up. I don't know how to say chugga-chugga backwards. A gutcha, 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 gutcha. Right?
That's correct.
Hey, are you ready?
Thank you. Yes.
Okay. All right. So, let's see. The triangle between your wrist and your first thumb joint is known as the anatomical snuff box.
I mean, no, it's not, which means it probably is.
Oh, man. So good. So good. You got it. All right. Well,
hold on.
Steady yourself. Think about it.
Okay. So,
do you need me to repeat it?
Sure.
So the triangle between your wrist and your first thumb joint is called the anatomical snuff box.
I mean, it's not even a triangle. Like, how does that work? I don't understand. I'm going to go with science.
Science question mark.
Science question mark.
Look at the back of your hand and extend your thumb. See those two little tendons pop out and form a triangle between your wrist and your first thumb joint? Scientists call that triangle the anatomical snuff box because people used to have the habit of sniffing powdered tobacco from this fleshy depression.
This is a fleshy depression.
This, you know what? This whole chick tract was a fleshy depression. And for you, this game was. For me, totally fine with this.
You swept it.
I swept it. The only other time this has happened that I'm aware of is at the end of Somebody Loves Me. Good job. I can't clap, but I can. Yeah, yeah. So now we know the true connection between those two chick tracks is its ability to ruin your life. And that is how we play
science.
Science. That was crazy. We're still recording, but I'm off mic. So you're going to have to improvise rap the end. I feel like either one of us would have done a terrible job. So I don't feel like there's any pressure at all at this point. People know how broken we are as people. People.
People.
And they're going to expect you to flip out. I say don't play to the crowd, though.
All right.
As best you can. It's going to be great. But we have some business to take care of before that happens.
That's true. We do stuff.
Yeah. You recorded some songs because you're in a band of one.
Yeah.
I'm one man band.
One band, man.
I'm one band, man.
Man.
And that if we heard it at the top of the show, So Much Many.
Yep, So Much Many. You can check the SoundCloud. There's it's SoundCloud/Waverly-Squared. Then there's like a Bandcamp. You can check that out.
I think that one's easier for people to go to.
So Much Money. .bandcamp.com.
The dashes and the slashes people get confused with, even though it's just punctuation.
Yeah, but punctuation is difficult for a lot of times.
I guess, but it's, I mean,
Christopher Walken built a career on the difficulty of punctuation.
True, but is dash really that much more difficult than a period?
I don't feel good about that. Can we take that out in post?
Okay, but you have to come up with another joke right here. Is a period that much more difficult than a dash?
Ask a plant.
Nice. I don't get it, but it's apparently less offensive than what you've wanted to say. No, do another joke. No. No. Is a period that much more difficult than a dash?
Ask a sprinter.
Okay. Ask me. Just do it.
Is a period that much more difficult than a dash?
Ask a runner and a hockey player.
Oh.
Periods. No. I just got yours while I was saying mine. I was like, that one's a fine one. We should have just stuck with that. So Much Many .bandcamp.com.
Yep. Twitter. We have a Twitter, guys.
You are active on that Twitter. I like it.
I'm trying.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So it's
people have favorited your tweets.
Right. It's @trickcriticism. So just follow that.
Oh, that's it. Yeah. @trickcriticism.
All one word. No punctuation. Don't even worry about it.
You can tweet us ideas for the show, different chick tracks we should do. I wouldn't do submissions to the Science Factor fiction game because you get those tweets. So, I mean, you would just be hearing things that are true or false. Maybe they can tweet at you and then you can respond if it's Science Factor fiction.
I'm willing to do that.
That'd be funny.
Yeah.
You don't win or lose anything, but you get Steve's game up, I guess.
And we might talk about it on the show.
Yeah, maybe.
We'll probably talk about it.
You know what? We could flip that at some point. If you get enough of those where you're like, those are good, you can ask me.
Yeah.
I'll do terrible at it, but you could also submit stuff to our email account.
That's true.
How?
Number two.
Get.
Chicks.
@gmail.com. Excellent. So do that. Give us a good rating or a bad rating or any rating on iTunes. We're happy to hear it.
Submit a song if you want us to play a song that you wrote.
Submit a song. We will certainly play that. We played one last week with our friend Woodbury's the New Sweethearts. As far as my band Seconds Prior, of course, secondsprior.bandcamp.com. You're making a face.
Yeah.
What's that about?
I don't know.
Was it the recording?
Yeah.
Well, I'm just going to stop it and move it. I'm not going to try to...
No, it's fair. I understand.
You just know that it's coming, that you have to rap?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I forgot for a second.
Oh, it's happening.
Sorry to break your momentum. Seconds Prior.
@SecondsPrior is the Twitter page. I have to use it more. I don't. It's weird. I used it more when I had a shittier phone, which didn't even have internet access.
Yeah.
There's something about sending a text message to the internet and not seeing a response that I like way better than using a Twitter app. I think I might just do that.
Might as well.
Because I just don't. There's so many people that we follow on Twitter, and I just haven't gone through like, okay, I really don't need to see all their tweets and like hiding the ones I need to hide.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just like unmanageable at this point. But you can certainly follow me. I will fix it, and I will see your tweets, and I'll be like, that's amazing. And you will see mine when I start tweeting more. This was a great season.
It was a great season.
I think it had to happen, if only to prove a D that we could do it. Because he said it couldn't be done. He probably forgets it, and now he will conveniently forget it because we have succeeded.
A D Heller of Not Doctors.
Not Doctors, great improv troupe. Great season. Good to have you back on the show.
Good to have you be back. Good to have you be back.
Good to have you be back. It's me. I'm be back.
I'm in a cult.
Oh, no. I'm dead. No. No more stalling, Steve.
All right.
Finish this season.
All right. Here we go. All right. So we're bringing it to an end. This is How to Get Chicks, Season 3. Here we go. We spent the whole season talking about one chick track. We gave him a name, the character. He was Mac. He went through some stuff, and I don't even like thinking about all the things that happened. What happened to him? What happened to us? It's hard to tell. It's hard to say. All I know is that he came back, and we didn't see it, but now he's in heaven. Maybe? I don't know. I don't know. That's the theme of this show. Yeah, it's... and the Mac time. 014. Represent.
Going.
And trust me, closing it out.
One more time.
Closing. Good time.
Ending strong. Man it. Season 4.
Season 4 coming at you next time.